Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Having any trouble balancing faith, family, and work? That's what this hour is about, finding that balance of faith, family, and work so that life can be really, really human, not just surviving, but living a human life. 888-318-7884. If you're going to talk about that, pretty much if you're going to talk about anybody, you can't beat getting Deacon Harold Burke Sivers as your guest, known around the world as the Dynamic Deacon. He's one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today. He's a graduate of Notre Dame University. He's got his master's in theology from the University of Dallas. He's done tons of radio and television and other media work, and he's the author of a whole bunch of great books, including Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality. He's the co-author of Ignite, Read the Bible Like Never Before, and he wrote an absolutely beautiful book about somebody you should know, Father Augustus Tolton, the slave who became the first African-American priest, about to have a brand new book out called Our Life of Service. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Si. It really is. And I have to tell you, I missed you last month. Remember, we were supposed to speak together at that Catholic Answers Conference.
I know.
Was it Omaha?
Yeah.
I know. I was so bummed. I was so looking forward to that.
I know.
And to see you and Carlo Broussard and...
Yeah,
you know,
and I'm no idiot. I was so happy to do that. I just said, do not put me on after Deacon Harold. I said, who's speaking first in the morning? And I'll go. But that was a bummer. Yeah, but like so many things, I mean, the world is unreliable right now. And I never would have thought that Spirit Catholic Radio would have to cancel an event. I mean, they're the best in the world at pretty much everything they do. But it happens. And I'm sorry we didn't get to see each other.
Yeah, I did have a consolation prize, though, Si, I must admit. I saw Dr. Tracy Triscanos. I spoke down in Tyler, Texas at a marriage conference for the John Paul II Foundation, Together in Holiness. And she was there, too, so I got a chance to meet her and her husband, Jose. And So a nice consolation prize, nonetheless.
Yeah, because she was going to be up there in Nebraska with us. And she has a new book out on the Eucharist, on Eucharistic miracles from a scientific perspective. So we got to have her on to talk about that. Did you know that, Darren? She got that brand new book out? Okay. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, our guest this hour, and you're balancing faith, family, and work is the topic. 888-318-7884. You're a victim, like many people are, of the supply chain. I never even used the word supply chain before, and now I'm yeah. using it like 10 times a day. So that's what happened with the new book, huh?
Well, it's affecting actually the book that's coming out. It's called, as you mentioned, Si, Our Life of Service. The Handbook for Catholic Deacons. So it's focusing on the third, what's called munus. So in holy orders, there's three what they call munus. In Latin, is functions, task, or duties, which is teaching, sanctifying, and leading. And that last piece is often called, you know, the service ministry of the deacon. And so what the book explores is basically what is kind of the theology of diaconal service. In the first part, you know, it's a differentiated from kind of lay service, like how, you know, so you have a deacon and a lay person working in the same Vincent de Paul conference in your parish. What's the difference? That kind of thing. So it gets into the spirituality. The second part of the book covers the deacon serving within the parish. And I'm quite honest about it, Si. I talk about the tensions that are there sometimes between deacons and the priest or deacons and the lay people in the parish.
Never.
And you know, it happens, believe it or not. And so I address that and talk about how we can overcome that so that we can better serve, all of us can better serve the body of Christ. And the third part of the book talks about the deacon's service ministry outside of the parish, which quite frankly, where I think the majority of the deacon's work should be.
Yeah.
Because we're in those places being that visible, permanent sign and witness of the church when the priest can't be there, because the priest's supposed to be in the parish.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And so that's where we are. We're in the trenches with people, bringing the message, the life-changing encounter of Jesus Christ between Sundays. You know, so that's what the book's about.
Do you think you could get it for Christmas? Like, would it be out for Christmas, do you think? Or
yes, it was supposed to be out already.
Oh.
But as you mentioned, it's a supply chain issue. So it's now they're saying December 3rd.
When
it's going to be widely available.
All right, I'm going to get it for some deacon friends.
When they get the copies in, they're going to send first to... people who pre-ordered and that kind of thing into bookstores and stuff, but it'll be widely available December 3rd now.
All right. Once again, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, our guest, one of the great speakers in the Catholic Church today. You're welcome to call with your questions on balancing faith, family, and work. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. This balancing faith, family, and work, it's in a weird way, it's gotten even harder now that so many people are working at home.
Yeah, believe it or not, Si, that is very true. And not only that, there's been tensions that have been caused in the marriage because spouses are staying together,
right,
are spending more time together. You would think it'd just be the opposite. Oh, I can't wait to spend more time with you. But actually, that's caused tension. We've seen increase in just statistically domestic violence. We've seen increases in the use of pornography. And all these kinds of things, which is very strange. Now, for me, Si, there's also a good effect as well. In our situation, we had our two college kids were home. So my oldest daughter was a senior, so sadly she spent her senior year in college at home graduated virtually, which was very anticlimactic. My second daughter was supposed to study overseas, spend a year abroad for her junior year. But of course, that didn't happen. So she was home. And of course, the twins finished high school at home. So although they did not like doing the online thing, it was nice to have that extra time together as a family that we didn't think we were going to have.
Yeah,
that's the one side, Si. But the other side was this. It brought up some significant challenges in our family, because when you start communicating with your kids as adults and they start to form their own opinions about the world and how they see the world and how they live in the world and how they interact with faith and culture, you know, it leads to some very interesting discussions. And I'll share a little bit of something here, Si, that also there was a little, not tension, but there was some issues that came up between myself and my wife as well. You know, I was traveling quite a bit, and the travel really had nothing to do with it. That's the first thing people want to say. Oh, see, you traveled too much. That's what happened. No, it wasn't that. It was that we stopped having those deep conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that husbands and wives talk about from their hearts, right? Because marriage is the cross. And what did Christ do on the cross, Si? He broke himself open and poured himself out in love. And married relationships in the family, the husband and the wife are also supposed to break themselves open and pour themselves out in love, in a love that's personal, loving, and life-giving. And those are things that are just often between a husband and a wife. It's not to say there's anything bad there, but, you know, when you stood at the altar and made the vows, those vows were for each other, not for anyone else.
Right.
So there are certain things you want to talk about at that level, and we just... We stopped doing it, not deliberately, but you know, life, Si, mm-hmm. got in the way. So it's very interesting we're talking about this, because I myself
went through
that difficult balancing period. But you know what, Si? We kept our main priorities of what our family is truly supposed to be about. You know, we're the witness on earth, the image and likeness of the family of God in heaven. You know, so once we kept that perspective, we're able to work through the issues. In fact, I'm very happy to say now that our marriage is doing better than ever now.
Oh, well, praise God for that. And that's sometimes a crisis is required. You know, I suppose that's what Pope Francis means about let's not just go back to what we were doing after the pandemic, but make those changes that bring a greater fullness to life. We don't want these crises, but often the Lord has a purpose for us in them.
That's an excellent point, Si. You know, when you were speaking, it just reminded me, like, back when I was in high school wrestling, you know, I was in the weight room several days a week. And, you know, in order to grow the muscle, you have to tear it. You know, so what you're doing when you're lifting the weights, you're actually tearing the muscle, and then that muscle builds back in layers. And that's what builds the strength in the muscle. And the same thing, I think, needs to happen in relationships, especially in the family. Sometimes things have to tear in order for it to build even stronger. And that was definitely the case for us, and I'm sure for many couples that are out there. And that's why I'm glad that we're doing this show, because I'm sure there are couples out there that are still struggling with this, still trying to find that balance and that perspective to get things back in order again. And, you know, I don't want things to go back to the way they were before, Cy. You know, people will say, I can't wait till things get back to normal. Well, what was normal, Cy? Normal was 69% of Catholics didn't believe Jesus was present in the Eucharist. You know, normal was the majority of people who come into the church through RCIA left after 5 years. You know, normal was the median age for someone who decides intellectually makes the decision, I am no longer a Catholic, is 13 years old. So they've effectively left the faith before they even left their parents' house. That was normal. We got to get away from normal. And I think this time of COVID is a time of tearing and rending so that we can build back stronger.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. You are welcome to call with your questions about balancing faith, family, and work. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break and come back with calls for Deacon Harold right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I was listening to the EWTN, and you were on with one of your little snippets, and you said some words that brought me back to the church. I've been away for a long time. You don't know how much I appreciate those words, and I don't know why those particular words that day got to me.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And I feel like sometimes you need your opinions validated. And when Deacon Harold Burke Sivers validates your opinion, then that means you're right about something. And I am glad to say we agree with one another on the time change.
Yes, please make up your mind. what I prefer is, look, you go to daylight, and that becomes standard time, and done.
That's it.
Be done with it. Back and forth, forget it.
Right. One more change in March. We'll get on to daylight savings time and then just stay there forever. We never have to change the clocks again.
We're mostly on daylight savings time for most of the year anyway.
Exactly. So, right.
If Arizona can do it, everybody can do it.
Well, now, I don't know if that's very nice to the people in Arizona, but I get the sentiment.
Well, no, they don't change their clocks. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, so follow their lead.
That's right. I think the Hawaiians don't either. But I mean, I think the Hawaiians can get away with it because they have nobody on their border. Nobody even knows like what Hawaii is doing. We don't know. And I know that you're listening, people in Hawaii, but the rest of us, we don't know what you're doing. You can do whatever you want. 888-318-7884. Just please don't make us get a wristband to come and visit. All right. We just want to come to Hawaii. Yeah. Have you heard about this thing that you got to wear a wristband now in Hawaii?
No, I know that they're strict about entry requirements. I didn't know about the wristband, though.
Yeah. They get the time change right by not doing it. Again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. One caller called Kathy from South Carolina to recommend Worldwide Marriage Encounter for spouses. She didn't stay on the line, but I just wanted to throw that out to you. Is that something that you recommend to people as well?
Yes, Worldwide Marriage Encounter does a great job. And I've been fortunate, not just in the United States, but also in Canada and in Singapore, to work with Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And they really do a great job in helping to build that deeper spiritual connection between spouses.
All right. Boy, you're not joking with that. You travel the world speaking. The people from Singapore just call you up and they're like, Deacon Harold, can you help us with Worldwide Marriage Encounter?
Yeah. You know, I've been to 19 countries, and that's the sad thing about this time now is that I haven't been out of the country since 2019. And it looks like the earliest I'm going to be going is May of next year. So
I'm going to throw something out to you, an idea for you. You need an opening act. If you're going to be traveling all over the world, you need an opening act. I'm going to send you a resume.
Love to have you, Si.
All right, let's go to Ryan. Let's see where Ryan is. Hang on a quick sec. Ryan in Monroe, Washington, watching on YouTube. Ryan, we're happy to have
Monroe.
You.
Monroe, yeah.
You know that place?
I know where that is.
Yeah. Now, see, you're going to do that for the whole world. Somebody's going to call from Nigeria, some small town, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I've been there a couple times. All right, Ryan, go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
I just got to say thanks for everything. And then also, yeah, he knows Monroe because we were one of the first conference hosts for the Northwest Conference in Seattle.
Oh, that's why. Very cool.
That's right.
So generally speaking, I'm wondering if you could just say a few words on, you guys are talking about, okay, the family and then building back better. What's that going to look like in the parish overall? I know as a deacon, you say, you know, you have your special role, and I've experienced that, and I appreciate that personally. But could you just say a few words to how that's going to look in the parish, whether it's in the ministry or whether it's in the refocusing, okay, whatever it is?
That is a great question. And that's a great question. You know, because I just thought about that when he asked that question. There definitely is a parallel between what we're seeing in the families and what we're seeing in the parish. Like, I've started traveling again, Son. I've done a number of parish missions, and the numbers are definitely down. In fact, I was just in Gary, Indiana, and several of the priests told me there is like they're at half.
Yeah.
So what they're seeing pretty much across the diocese is that half of the people who are coming to the men's conference are coming now. Half the people who are going to Mass and attending Mass regularly are attending now. And so there's definitely some fracture there. And part of it is, you know, they're streaming, which is great because you're reaching people who maybe have not come to Mass in quite a while or can't come to Mass, people that are in assisted living communities or shut in at home. So we're reaching people with the beauty of the Mass, which is awesome. But there's also people that just quite frankly got out of the habit. They mm-hmm. just stopped coming, you know? And you know, people want to sometimes point fingers at them, but we're as human beings, we're creatures of habit. So here's basically what happened. You have a generation of people who, let's just be real, weren't very well catechized, but they did know this: I need to go to church on Sunday. And so, because Sunday's important. And so they were going to Mass regularly. All of a sudden, they don't have to go to Mass. In fact, they don't even have to watch Mass on television because the dispensation said you just didn't have to go. So again, I'm not saying the bishops did it on purpose or anything, but I think one of the unintended effects was that people got used to not going, or people got used to watching Mass in their slippers and with a cup of coffee in their hand. And now they're not coming back because they're used to this now. So I think what we have to do again is, how do we bring the family back together? One thing that I think would be great is to have a parish celebration. Have a big party. No fundraising, no, just have people potluck, bring food, have games, just have fun as a family to bring, hey, we miss you, we love you, come on back, you know, and just have a big celebration as a way of bringing people back together in community. I know one parish that did that, that I spoke at in Michigan. In fact, Dr. Ray Garendi and I spoke at the same event, and that's exactly what they did. But they upped the ante. They were a pretty good-sized parish, so they brought in me and Dr. Ray to do some speaking, and they had games for the kids. They brought in like these little, like those big
jump houses things.
Jump houses and stuff, and it was really something. It's like a little parish festival, and again, as a way of bringing people back together. Now, catechetically, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to do family catechesis. What do I mean by that? Typically what happens is when kids, parents drop their children off for First Communion or confirmation or something like that, the parents go do something else and pick the kids up later. And then they may or may not have a conversation about what that child learned during that hour, hour and a half. How about family catechesis? I see more parishes doing this, where they're doing either full family catechesis, so the parents are there while their children are going through the class, or they have a parallel class for parents at the same time that the kids are getting instruction. So now you're catechizing the entire family. Now they can go back and actually bring the faith in a deeper way into their home. So it's not just meal prayers, bless us, O Lord, but now they're actually having conversations about the faith, and they're maybe making a more purposeful prayer in their family. You know, they're praying before they go to bed, and they're praying when they wake up, and I think those kinds of things will help start to revive parishes again. That was a great question.
What do you think, Ryan?
Well, I appreciate the elaboration, and I think it's kind of funny because we've been doing Generations of Faith for like 10 years where we bring in families, and so that's definitely been something related, and we had a giant parish picnic bringing people together. So, I mean, I'm seeing it reflected in my own parish, but I can see that reaching out again, trying to do something with the families would be great.
I was just thinking,
I appreciate that.
As you were saying it, Deacon Harold, thanks, Ryan, that we got to do that in my parish.
Even one last thing, the personal touch, right? Calling people, visiting people that you haven't seen for a while. Just get a group of parishioners and the deacons, you know, maybe the deacon to keep it organized in your parish. Just go and say, hey, we haven't seen you for a while, you know, and that kind of thing. Make that personal attention, that personal touch.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. Thanks again, Ryan, for the call. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about getting back to balancing faith, family, and work. Life has changed. Life has changed a great deal in the last year and a half or so. And for many people, I'm sure that has included all kinds of positive changes. For many, it's been very, very difficult and continues to be. I want to talk about balancing faith, family, and work with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. We're going now up to Ontario, Canada, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Sam in Ontario, Canada. We're happy to have you, Sam. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Thank you for having me. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Sam Zad, and I'm a parishioner Catholic here in Kingsville, Ontario, Canada. And my question for Deacon Harold, which I really respect, I've seen him many times, and I love his conviction and passion and courage. And to me, that's impressive. We need more of that. We need more male examples and heroes, so to speak, for the young people to look up to. And Deacon Harold, in my opinion, is one of those men. So my question is, instead of concentrating on this, in my opinion, overused term, build back better, but by so many politicians and medical bureaucrats have used recently, I think it'd be better if maybe we could use the term build ourselves better. And I just wanted to see if
that resonated.
What Deacon Harold thinks on that.
Yeah, so I love that. First of all, thank you, Sam, for your wonderful comment. Yeah, I think it's a both and, right? So, you know, when we leave Mass, we have received Christ in word and sacrament, and then we have that mission and that call to go out there and be Eucharist to the world, to witness to the power of Christ's love. But you can't do that unless you are convicted yourself, right? So there is a building up of self. And I know, for example, Sam, I've used this time at home to delve more deeply into the scriptures, into books that I really, really haven't paid much attention to before, like Proverbs, for example. You know, I did a kind of a deep dive personally, spiritually into the book of Proverbs and things like that to kind of build myself up. But the thing is about us as Catholics is that, you know, we're not just one string on the violin, right? It's when all of the strings are played in harmony, it's now the instrument has sense and has meaning and purpose. So we're all part of the body of Christ. And so we build up our individual strengths, our individual gifts, in cooperating with the grace of the sacraments so that we can go forth together as the body of Christ. So you build yourself in order to build communities. And the way it works, since we're connected to the family, we build ourselves up, especially as men, as you mentioned, Sam, we have strong families. Now, each individual in the family is working to build themselves as a part of the body of Christ, but yet they do it together within the context of a family, just like a monastery, right? Just like nuns in a convent. You know, they each individually have their individual call and vocation, but yet they come together in community. And the same thing in the family. And what happens then, Sam, we build ourselves up. We have strong families. We have a strong family. We have a strong church. We have a strong church. We take back the culture. Right. So I think it's both and, Sam.
That meet with your approval, Sam.
Thank you. I appreciate your candid answer, good deacon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Yeah, there is something in us that maybe it's just because we live in the United States, which is a heavily Protestant country, I don't know, that forgets about the sacramental nature of Catholicism. And now more than ever, it's easy to just forget about it because you've been living without it in many cases for a year and a half.
Yeah, that's so true. And we have to reconnect ourselves with our faith again. And I think that starts with a deeper appreciation of the sacraments, most especially the Eucharist.
888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, our guest. Your calls. Welcome on Balancing Faith, Family, and Work.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the feast of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran. Plus news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Pretty hard to find a better way to start a week. It's Monday. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is here with us, and you are welcome to call. I'm going to go to the calls right now, and I will get to you, Marley in Minnesota, coming up right now. But I just want to, again, mention to folks that Deacon has a brand new book coming out, and this might be a great book to give the deacon at your parish or the deacons at your parish. It's called Our Life of Service, The Handbook for Catholic Deacons. It's from, if I'm not mistaken, from Ave Maria Press. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you can't get it yet, but if you order it, you'll have it in time to put it in your deacon's hand for Christmas. And what a nice Christmas gift for your deacon. The number here, 888-318-7884. Marley in Minnesota, listening on 88.1 FM. Thank you for waiting patiently, Marley. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Catholic school teacher in Minnesota, and I'm also a new mother.
Oh, congratulations.
Between my vocation as a mother and my duties at the school, I'm just having a hard time balancing the two between working full-time and then having to sometimes bring work home with me So I'm wondering if you have any comments about that.
Well, I'll say this before Deacon Harold answers. There's like a million moms going, yep. Like
right?
Every new mom knows that story. But Deacon, what might you say to Marley?
Yeah, and Marley, you bring up a great point, because school teachers are one of those professions that you can't just work from home. Now, I you know how many teachers I spoke to who did not like doing the online thing at all? They didn't have a vocation to be a teacher, so they can sit in front of a computer and try to teach kids from behind a computer screen. You know, so unlike other professions where you can work from home effectively, teaching is not one of them. And so you're right, Marley. So you're right in the thick of it. But we have to remember what our priorities are. Number one, relationship with God. Number two, family. Number three, everything else. Why? You know, I said that once, and a guy said to me, Deacon, I thought you put your family first. And I said, my friend, if I'm not right with God, then I'm no good to my family. So that always has to come first. Now, sometimes the tension happens between the second two, relationship with family and work, right? Because sometimes they can sometimes flip. I mean, just being realistic here, sometimes the family is more important, and sometimes the work has to be more important, and you're trying to figure out how to balance those two. So for you, you have a brand new child, and congratulations. And I remember for myself, we had a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and newborn twins, right? So I did take some time off to help my wife with all of that, but then I had to go back to work. So the most important priority is right now is for you to be with your daughter, especially in these early formative years. Now, your husband can help you with that, but quite frankly, the mom is the essential one when they're really small like this, and as they're developing. So maybe you need to cut back a little bit. Maybe you do part time instead of full time. You maybe take one less class. Now that does probably mean a little less revenue for you. And plus, I'm not sure if the school even will allow you to do that. But I found that a lot of employers have been quite accommodating during this time of COVID and understanding family situations, because God will bless you if you honor him. So when you stand before God in heaven, Marley, he's not going to ask you how, you know, he's going to say, give me my talents back. I gave you the talent of motherhood, and I gave you the talent of being a school teacher. And he's going to want you to multiply those talents. But he's also going to make sure that your daughter gets to heaven.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why the family has to take priority over the work. And if you prioritize your family, then God will help you to provide for them. When I left my job in 2012, Marley, I took a very significant pay cut. But I decided, you know what? God has asked me to make this change. And I knew that God was calling me to it. Because I know how I know, I was trying to get out of it, and God wouldn't let me. But what God has done, Marley, he's not only strengthened my family during this time, but also increased my income in ways that I didn't, and I didn't anticipate. You know, so God is good. If you're loyal to him, and if you're faithful, and if you really work hard at that priority, relationship with God, strengthen that relationship with him in deep, intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion, and then reflecting that love in your family, all the temporal stuff will work itself out.
Marley, what do you think?
Thank you very much. A lot to ponder.
It is. How old is the baby?
She's 6 months.
Oh, Lord. Oh. You are right in the thick of it. God bless you.
I miss when they, I tell you, Marley, really appreciate them. I know it's just probably be hard and there's a lot of challenges, but I tell you, my twins just turned 18 and it went off to school and now we're empty nesters. And I'm like, man, I wish they were small again.
I know.
It's weird. The house is so empty now. You know, it's just very strange. But really appreciate that time, Marley. It's a very beautiful, special time.
Yeah, especially like the 11th or 12th time you're up in the middle of the night. Try to keep that appreciation up. Yeah. But that's the part we forget, though. You know, like I have, mm-hmm. I have the same thing. I I think I went through depression when I finally realized there's no more kids coming and these kids are growing up. Like, this is not going to be the rest of my life. I felt so sad. But some of that is unrealistic too. Like, you forget. Well, yeah, but you were exhausted for a decade. You know, you never slept. And so maybe it's okay to move on.
Let's be real. You are absolutely right, Si. There were times you're like, man, I wish these kids would get out of here.
Yeah, right. Right.
I wish there were adults and out of here. But, you know, it's just out of frustration with what's going on at the moment. But it finally does happen, you know, you look back and you think, where did the time go? Everybody talks about how fast it goes, but it really does.
It really, I know. It sounds like a cliche, but it is the truth. You get to a certain age, you go, what happened? It's over?
Yes.
Like, I was just getting started.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing, maybe Marley, there's a one word prayer that mothers have that it can replace all those rosaries and things you were saying before, if you're overwhelmed. And that one word prayer is help. And the Lord helps. The Lord will help. God bless you, Marley. Thank you for the call and congratulations again on the beautiful new baby. I'm going to go to Heath I have time. I'm going to go to Heath in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Because if you're in Nebraska, you're probably listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Heath, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Hi. So my question kind of borders the line of faith and kind of, you know, managing a familial relationship as far as, you know, I've been told in the past, in my wife's side of the family, I actually kind of encountered this just recently. Is it okay to attend a Catholic's wedding that where they fell away from the faith, and they're no longer going to be, or they're not going to have a Catholic ceremony attached to the wedding? How do you kind of navigate those waters, not attending the wedding, where you feel like you're not morally able to go, but also not harming the relationship of your family because you're not able to attend? Does that make sense?
Yeah, great question. So let me just ask a couple things, Heath. So did this person, like, did they just fall away from the church, or did they just say, I don't want to have anything to do with the Catholic Church, I'm not Catholic anymore?
So my wife's cousin, this is who it was, they were catechized growing up. They didn't go to Catholic school or anything growing up, but they went to CCD and things like that. And they just chose to, they're not really practicing their faith right now anymore.
Okay.
And they just kind of chose to not have a religious wedding. Mostly, I think a lot of it was that her husband now is not. You know, a Catholic, or never was a Catholic.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Very good. The reason I asked that is because it's very funny, Heath, because that's exactly the situation I'm finding myself in now. I have a cousin of mine, and we're going to be attending the wedding in upstate New York this weekend, as a matter of fact. This was someone, again, not well catechized, grew up Catholic, basically going to church on Sunday kind of thing, and kind of got the sacraments. So they're getting married at this beautiful place in upstate New York, but it's not a church. And he's marrying someone who's not Catholic. So I'm and my family, we're going to the wedding, not only because I knew this young man since he was a little boy, but because I think the witness that we can provide for them. He obviously he knows who I am and what I do. And so I think my presence there and the gift that we're going to give them, which is something that's faith-based, I think the fact that I'm going to sit down with them and have a conversation, short one, but it was still a conversation about the importance of faith in their life now that they've committed their lives to each other, and use that as an opportunity for witness and evangelization. Even though at this point, because of the poor catechesis, that's why I asked the question, did they deliberately say no or just not poorly catechized? Because if they're poorly catechized, you can plant a seed and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Remember the parable of the sower, Heath? Jesus said, the sower threw the seed, and but God, what does Paul say? I seeded, Apollos watered, God gave the yield. And so by attending the wedding, I intend to plant or throw a very big seed of faith toward my nephew. And so when that seed lands on his heart, over time, and again, God works in his time, and God's time is always perfect, not our time, that seed will be able to, God will give it sunlight and fertilizer and allow the seed, the faith, to grow. But the seed can only grow, Heath, the plant can only grow if the seed is there. So God has given us work to do to be witnesses of his love by throwing the seeds and not being afraid to share our faith in love, which I plan to do. And hopefully I'm going to pray for him and his new wife, and that the seed bears very, very deep fruit in their relationship, in their marriage, and in their family.
Heath, we have to go to a break. Thank you so much for the question. I hope that that answer was helpful to you. Another example of how you're just always going to get the truth from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And I hope that that's helpful to you as you make your decision. We're talking about, well, the world has changed, and we all know it, and so much has changed. And if you're struggling to find balance, faith, family, and work balance, you're welcome to call with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The people who call More to Life are often hurting so much. I just want to reach through the radio and hug them. I want them to know how loved they are and how much God wants to fill their hearts with his healing grace and his deep desire to completely transform the life of anyone who's open to the movement of his Holy Spirit.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Lots of people already doing their Christmas shopping, and that's probably a wise thing this year. And if you maybe want to give the gift of some faith-related books or CDs or DVDs, do people still do CDs? I don't know. Maybe I just aged myself. But you can buy all kinds of stuff over at shop.catholic.com, Catholic stuff that you can share with folks. And everything's on sale with $5 flat rate shipping. Just visit shop.catholic.com and find what will make that other person happy on Christmas morning when they open that present. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I just wanted to say, somebody on Facebook checking in from Shanghai to say hello. So because you mentioned your world travels earlier, I just want you to know. I mean,
I've never been to China. That's one. China and India are the two places I want to go that I haven't been to yet. So,
well, yeah, I've never been there, but I have friends there, Deacon. I just wanted to brag about that.
Awesome.
Catholic Answers friends in Shanghai. We're talking about balancing faith, family, and work in this very much changed world. If you have a question for Deacon Harold, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The work thing, it seems like I don't think anybody knows. And maybe you have a sense of this, Deacon, I don't know. But there seem to be jobs everywhere. There seems also to be people who are not going back to work. I don't know how to make sense of that, about what is motivating people. Are people afraid, in your experience, afraid to go back to work? Or maybe they've come to the decision, I never liked work that much before, and now they're trying to find a new way in life.
Yeah, I think a couple things happened there. I think the I'm not sure what they call it, the stimulus package, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, right,
basically
right.
Basically handing out money, you know, so people, you know, if they have this, if they can get money for free or work for it, they're going to get it for free, right? but I see the help wanted signs everywhere, particularly in the service industries where you have to be around people. So I think part of it is a little, is some fear, even though, you know, hopefully now we're on the other side of this thing. But there's still a lot of fear, still a lot of trepidation. I think people are finding alternative ways to make money, doing a lot of things while working online, rather than have to be around people. And, right. You know, we have the, again, the supply chain issues, which is why there are so many places hiring right now. And I just, you know, we have to understand that when we work, we honor God, you know, and his rule, St. Benedict, the kind of the linchpins of the rule are ora et labora, pray and work.
Right.
And for monks in a monastery, what we're talking about today, Si, St. Benedict does this beautifully, balancing work and prayer in the monastic family, you know, by giving an importance to prayer and an importance to work, where work, in a sense, becomes your prayer, because you're honoring God in your work. By fulfilling your vocation, you're honoring God. And so I think we've lost a sense of that during COVID. Yeah. And so I hope what happens now is that hopefully maybe people listen to the show or start to be motivated to start to work again. I know for myself, I was very much looking forward to speaking in person again. I've done about 45 or close to 50 virtual events of all kinds, conferences or retreats or, you know, things like that. And as awesome as that's been, it's not me. Because ultimately, Si, we are an incarnational church, right? God no longer wanted to be far away from us. God didn't send us a text or a Skype or a Zoom. Right. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us because he wanted to touch us with his own hands and love us with his own heart. You know, God got personal.
Yes.
You know, and so we cannot be afraid to be that incarnational church, especially in our vocation to our work.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. John in West Virginia listening on EWTN is next. John, we're happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Deacon Harold, it's a pleasure. I certainly miss hearing your voice on Morning Glory every morning on the way to work. But my question would be, I am in the Diaconate Formation Program, Year 2, Diocese of Wheeling, Charleston. And my question would be, when you were in formation, how did you balance work, studies, and especially your relationship with your wife? My kids are grown now, and they're out of the house, so it's more about my wife than anything.
Well, John, that is a great question, because I'll tell you this. When I started the program, I was 30 years old. And it was a 6-year process for me, including getting a master's degree in theology. And we had no children yet when I was accepted into the program. And so we had two of the kids born during formation, and the twins were born 2 weeks after ordination. And so, yeah, you know, I totally see where you're coming from there. And so here's the thing. The priorities that I mentioned before still hold true. Relationship with God, family, and then everything else after that. So listening to my wife was extremely important. There were concerns from the diaconate board because they had never ordained anybody as young as me or with children as young as mine were. And so we had to have a special meeting with the bishop and the archbishop. And he felt that we could be a strong witness to family life. But the key, John, the absolute key for me was listening to my wife. You know, when she said, these are the times I need you home, I made sure that I was home. I'm ordained as a deacon. So, you know, it's one of those things, I can't wait to be doing stuff. We went through formation for so many years. Now I actually get to do things. And so sometimes, you know, you just want to jump in there, but you take a deep breath. We got time, right? Once you're ordained, you'll never stop being a deacon. But your family starts to be your first priority, because what you don't want to do in your situation, John, since your kids are gone, you don't want your wife to think that the church is now your mistress, where she feels you're gone so much that you're almost having an affair. You know, you don't want that, because without her, yes, you couldn't get ordained. I mean, that's the formalized process in our archdiocese. Unless the wife gives her formal approval at several important steps along the way, you don't move forward. You know, so and my wife was completely on board and supportive from day one, because she knew that God was calling me to something. You know, and when we discovered the diaconate, you know, as long as I listened to her and honored her and respected the time she wanted me to balance that, you know, with her and with the parish, I honored that. God made it all work out, John. It's been great.
What do you think, John?
Thank you so much. That's wonderful advice. I will take that. And God bless, and thank you.
Hey, Deacon.
And I'm praying for you, John, that now you're in year two. How many years is it in your diocese?
It's a total of four, and we have a total of 22 men. So a spirit-filled men loving Jesus Christ. So
praise
it's
God.
It's a great group. So we're blessed.
Amen. I'll be praying for you guys. I'm praying for all you, John. Thank you so much for your call.
And maybe look out for Our Life of Service, the Handbook of Catholic Deacons, the new book that Deacon Harold's got coming out very shortly.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Our number again, 888-3187-884, talking about balancing faith, family, and work. You know, I was struck when you were talking about work, about because I know you're a Benedictine. It's called an oblate? A Benedictine
oblate, yeah. So oblate, for the Benedictines, they call their third order, like, you know, the Franciscans, Dominicans call them third order.
Yeah.
But Benedictines call them oblates, oblatio, offering. You know, that's just the different language the Benedictines use.
But that Benedictine view of work is really under attack, because I think a lot of people feel like the work that they're doing doesn't matter. You have to understand that the work that you're doing doesn't matter. And I think people feel that way in part because society is so large. I mean, billions of people in these interconnected systems. It's not like you're sitting down, you know, to chisel out the legs of a chair or something where you can see why that matters. What do you say to folks who just have that sense of my work life doesn't matter?
Well, it does matter, but here's the problem, Si. It's when your work becomes your life, when you begin to identify yourself with your work. That's not the way it's supposed to go. You honor God by working, because everyone has a vocation. So our primary response to God's call is to figure out what our vocation is, because we were put on this earth for a purpose. And no matter what work vocation we're called to, we're called to honor God. It doesn't matter if you're working at McDonald's sweeping floors. Doesn't matter if you're working in the oil field. Doesn't matter if you're an amazing host for the greatest Catholic apostle in the world, Catholic Answers.
What's
up? Doesn't matter if you're the Pope. It doesn't matter. But you cannot be defined by your work. So, for example, Si, if something happened to you, couldn't work at Catholic Answers anymore, you could say, well, I have no more identity because I'm no longer at Catholic Answers.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
as
I do see what you're saying.
As important as your work is, it is not who you are. It is not how you identify. You know, you are a son of God. And God has called you at this particular point in your life to be the host of Catholic Answers. And your witness in doing that has really helped form and shape people's hearts and bring them closer to Christ. I mean, if God asked me to stop speaking tomorrow, I'm like, okay, God, what's next now?
Yes, I see what you're saying. Right.
I am not identifying myself as the dynamic deacon, whatever the heck that means, or I'm Deacon Harold, whatever that means. I am a son of God who continually want to discover God's unfolding will in my life. And so I have to identify as that first, and then use my gifts and talents to honor God in whatever work He has called me to.
Ah, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thanks. I feel like I've recovered from the time change now. You fired me up. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. You can find, is it deaconharold.com? Tell me, give me a website
That's
people
it.
Can visit. Deaconharold.com.
That's it.
Okay, great. You can find all his books there. You can get him to come speak in your parish. Just make sure you put some tape on the windows because it gets wild when Deacon Harold's speaking. Thanks so much, Deacon Harold. Can we have your blessing before we go?
Sure, may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're back tomorrow with Open Forum. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.